We're going to talk some more tonight and for the foreseeable future about Holy Spirit stuff.
Yay.
So let's go to Job chapter 11.
Job.
Let's go. Job.
Job. Just start in verse 4. For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. Now the operative thing is that the secrets of God are double to that which is. Now the word double there in the Hebrew is a word that means folded over. Or the idea means it's on the inside of that which is. You got it? That he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Now, most of you have spent a lifetime seeking something, bunches of stuff. But there comes a time in your life, and there comes a time in almost everyone in this Bible's life, in which they found out that the things that they were seeking after were vanity, and that the only thing worth seeking after was wisdom. Now, wisdom is if you believe David or Solomon, it's to be sought above everything else. It's to be sought above even salvation itself. Because through wisdom and the secrets of wisdom, then everything in the universe makes sense and you're free. But he will show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. That means, again, they're hidden. There's something else going on. Now go to Mark 4. Verse 11. He said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things, or all, notice these isn't there, all things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sin should be forgiven them. That's exactly the same thing that was just said in Job, that the secrets of wisdom are double to that which is. Here it says that unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto everybody else, all things are in parables, that seeing they may see and not see, that hearing they may hear and not hear, lest at any time they should be forgiven and their sins should be forgiven. That's a pretty heavy statement.
Yeah, well, I don't understand why God would want it that way.
Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. He will not share his glory with any flesh.
And if it was just everywhere, everyone would just automatically take the flesh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's what everybody tries to do, including you.
Whenever anything worth understanding comes upon me, it comes out of left field. You know, I just...
Can it finally enter your mind that which you think about as you, God doesn't want saved?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God doesn't want delivered. God doesn't want healed. Something else is going on.
You know, when you said that, I thought about the thing we talked about at Tabernacles, about how when they lit the four big candles, they used the priest's garments, the worn-out garments, as the wick, the medium through which the oil is turned into light. And when you said that, I just thought of that, and that's all that is. It's just a wick.
So anything I think that I need or I want, I mean, God really doesn't want it. Anything that you think you need.
There's always something else going on. Always. Without exception. But let's see now, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Then what's the Holy Spirit's role in all of this? Because, you know, let's go to John 16.
Might be marked out, John 8. This horse baloney, the dude die, is all I want to say to you. Did you write that?
Yeah.
He's
getting
it. That's
what I
was
like
the other night.
It was like,
horse baloney.
Yeah.
Horse baloney.
Horse baloney.
John 16, verse 12. Jesus is speaking to the disciples. And he's speaking to them just immediately prior to the crucifixion. These are the last among the last words that he said unto the disciples. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of or from himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come, and he shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine, or of me, and shall show it, or me, unto you. The simple fact is that the secrets of wisdom are doubled to that which is. There's a covering over them. That all things are to the world a mystery or in a parable. I can't understand it. So that none of them can be saved. None of them can be healed. And the Holy Spirit's job is to unfold that doubling to show you what? To show you that which is Christ. In everything. Now that's the main, number one, singular, only job description of the Holy Spirit. To show you that which is His. Now, let's go back to what life was like before the fall. Let's see if we can began to try to see something about what you would have been like if you existed in that garden before the fall. What did, in other words, more on this stuff about what did Adam lose at the fall? Go to Genesis 1:26. No, don't go there. Go to Matthew 6:22. Can you all take it as a given from this point forward that nothing is as it seems to be? That nothing, absolutely nothing in your life that is taking place is what it looks like. There is something, it's everything that's happening in your life is doubled. The only thing you know about it is by the mind. The only thing you can see by the mind and by the senses is you can only see the layer that's on the surface. There is no thing in your life that has anything to do with what it looks like. Ever. Ever, 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 ever. Is there an area that you can't see that in? Is there something that's happening to you tonight that you believe and you act and you respond to it as though it were the thing? The only way I can think about it is like Trinity Foundation needs money in order to continue as it is. Money has nothing to do with where we are, with what the need is. Understand? The apparent need for money is only a doubling of that which is really going on. Now the Gentile mind says, okay, well then what's going on? Tara wants to get married. It consumes her sometimes. Sometimes she's happy. But the thing that's going on in her life has absolutely nothing to do with her wanting to get married.
But her wanting to get married points to what's really going on.
Not necessarily. It's only with the spiritual eyes that you can know that.
Right.
The thing that happened with Liz a little while ago had nothing to do with what was seen. There is no condition that you can be in that has anything to do with what it looks like it is. That has to be, from now on, the predicate of your life. If that has to be the given that all of us accept as a truth.
I can really see that in going to work on Friday. It was like, I really did understand and feel submitted to what everybody said on Thursday. And it was so different being at work on Friday. I mean, for one thing, I spent a whole lot of time praying. There was one sentence out of my highest, my utmost for his highest. The sentence was, if God delivers you a cup that is sweet, drink it with grace. If he delivers you a cup that is bitter, drink it in communion with him. And I spent a lot of time thinking about whatever was going on. I mean, for me, the experience was bitterness, and thinking about drinking in communion with him totally changed my vision of it. And there's somebody there that, I mean, she is continually defensive with me. And it's like out of absolutely nothing. So my attitude for months has been like, look, there's nothing going on, so I'm not going to deal with it. And on Friday, since my perspective was, I'm going to be here a long time, I mean, I just walked up to her and said, you know, can we talk? We talked for a while, and I just said, I don't think you're incompetent. I mean, I don't think any of the things you think, I think. Yeah, you know what I mean. And it was just, I mean, really the essence of it was all misunderstanding. I mean, at least from her point of view. She never thought that, and it was all just that everything had become gossip. But I had avoided it, and you know, my desire was, okay, I'm just going to escape this. I'll just leave the situation. You know, I'll get out of this job. Therefore, I will never have to confront this woman's bitterness toward me.
Yeah.
And the thought that, okay, this is about abiding totally changed my vision of it. And really, the job was still the job. The appearance was still exactly the same. It's just, anyway, sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine. But, you know, I could go down the room, and the beginning of the victory of Christ is that simple understanding that the thing that is taking place, the thing that I'm concerned with, the thing that I see, never once in the history of the human race ever has had anything to do with what it looked like it did. I wished I believed in phylacteries so I could give you all a bumper sticker or a desk sign that said something to that effect. And the second thing that we know from this is that the thing that is taking place in your life, number one, it doesn't have anything to do with what it looks like, but number two is that it always has to do with a revelation of Christ. It never has to do with what it looks like, therefore it never has to do with you, but it always has to do with seeing a different aspect of the revelation of Christ. Now, the reason I got so mad at Liz a little while ago, and the reason I get so mad at all of you, is that strength says, I will only look at what is apparent. That's what the scriptures mean, that I am taking a stand. There can never be repentance in the state of taking a stand. There can never, it looks like weakness. Everybody would have looked at Liz and thought, my God, she's weak, she's crying. That's not weakness, that's strength. Do you understand that? And the purposed confusion that many of you allow yourself to continue in is not weakness, it's strength. Because you refuse to see that that which is going on is nothing to do with you and has everything to do with the revelation of Jesus Christ. Period. If thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. If thine eye is double, then even the light that is in you is darkness. What Adam had before the fall was this, a single mind, a single eye. He was only aware of God and the surroundings. He was not possible, it wasn't possible to be, for him to be aware of himself. Do you understand that? That is the freedom that is promised you. The freedom that you're searching for is that far away from you. Okay, go to Jeremiah 2. There can never be a time in your life when you are not on this mystical path from Egypt to sitting permanently in the mercy seat. There is never a time when that isn't happening. Okay, now go to Jeremiah 2, verse 11. When you're on this path, in this walk, in this way, the way that causes the valleys to be made high and the mountains to be made low and the crooked places to be made straight, when you're on that pathway, then you are in the way. You are called a people of the way. Every place along the way, with the passage of time, you are constantly bombarded by stimuli whose function is to cause you to take a step off the way. There's never a time when anyone that you will meet or any situation that you will run into outside of the body itself whose purpose is not to pull you away or off that path. There is no relationship, there is no career move, there is nothing, there is no stimulus that can enter your life outside of the people that are the brethren that you are of one flesh with that can ever be in a position other than a messenger of Satan designed to cause you to move off of the way into some other journey. I mean, you got to see, your mind is the biggest one. But every other thing on the face of the earth has one function. It's from the hand of Satan to pull you off that path. You understand that? Are you okay?
I'm real tired.
Okay. It's vital that you understand this. Otherwise, you will walk in deception. Harry's walked in deception for a year. Still is, about 90%. But at least there's a light, there's a hope, and you can see that it's possibly deception. Some of you have not even gotten on the path yet. You've gotten close enough to see that it might be worthwhile to be on the path. But you're still paying attention to the other voices. And the essence of it is, let's read this. Chapter 2, verse 11. Hath a nation changed their gods which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. That's what happens. The moment you step off the path, the moment you leave peace, for any reason, you have exchanged gods. Do you understand? You got to hear this. The moment your mind is in any other state other than peace, you have changed gods. This one will cause you more turmoil than you can ever believe, because you'll be in this between the straits business, and it'll be the Holy Spirit chasing you back to the path. But you blame it on a million other things. You cannot be in a state of being other than perfect peace without having changed gods. Can you understand that? Very simple. The problem is never the other gods' fault. They're just dumb gods. The problem is you. You have willingly changed gods. Big. Understand? Do you understand how you chose to change gods? Oh, not me. I'm in no peace because I'm innocent. And I'm a victim. That's the reason victimhood is so evil. Because victimhood makes a lie of idolatry. In truth, what victimhood is self-deity. In the most perverted form. The Holy Spirit's function on the negative side is, if you're not exactly in perfect peace, to make your life so miserable that you'll run back to peace. Now, some of you have only experienced misery. That's all you've ever known. At the basis of your being, you have never known joy. Because you've continued worshiping that which is no God. But you've got to suspect by now that you've been sort of playing the wrong game.
This is what's been going on with me lately, especially this issue. It's like with music. There's been a long period of time where I just would sing for hours, and it was just wonderful, and I had so much fun, but this thing started working in me, after a few days of all of a sudden start thinking about how am I going to do this, or what am I going to do X in the future.
Let's see what's going on.
They're all out on the porch playing. It's all the adults, it's not the kids. It's the savior.
But, as I started turning it, slowly, without even realizing it, all of a sudden I'm totally living with, you know, I'm going to do X and X and X and X, you know, totally living in the future, totally being on it in the future of what I'm going to do. And that's what happens. It's like all of a sudden it becomes so odious and so, you know, worming. I just can't do it. I just have to stop. And, you know, and that's what goes on. And if I'm not doing it in the moment and you know, that with peace about, you know, not thinking about this is what I have to do and this is what, it's not perfect because of this or it's not, you know, and it's shit. It becomes so bad.
Hath a nation changed their gods which are yet no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit? Be astonished, O you heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. Now that prophecy has been the lot for most of your lives. You have been desolate, but you've tried to cover up the desolation with plastic flowers, with plastic relationships, with plastic values, with plastic goals, with plastic ideas. But you really, in truth, have lived only in a state of desolation. Desolation. Let that word ring in you. Desolation. No living thing, no thing of worth. Your environment is one of desolation. Why? Because you've forsaken your God. Now, you've been desolate. Now, I promise you, it's time to be very afraid. There's no more excuse for chasing plastic. There's no more excuse for chasing plastic people or plastic relationships. Anything. Be afraid. Be horribly afraid. For my people have committed two evils. Two evils. Listen to this. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. Forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed them out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, somehow, you remember? The idea of the flow of water, that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, that position was one of the experience when they realized it was one of great joy and purpose and understanding and pleasure. I want to concentrate on pleasure for a minute. You have forsaken the fountain of living waters and hewed out for yourself cisterns that cannot hold any water. They cannot hold any pleasure. The whole nation is like that. Do you know what? The reason that pleasure industries are on the increase is because no pleasure satisfies. If there was any pleasure that satisfied, there couldn't be an increase in the pleasure or leisure industries. Do you understand that? Every one of the acts of pleasure that you and society run to are the evidence that the cistern is broken and can hold no water, because the water is only there, the pleasure is only there for a moment. So you have forsaken him, the fountain of living waters, dug for yourself cisterns that can hold no water or no pleasure. I don't want to talk anymore about joy. Joy doesn't communicate. Pleasure communicates. Yeah. Now tell me about your pleasure principles. Everything that you do is based on delayed gratification. Yeah. God says, this Now is the accepted time. Now, at this moment, is the day of pleasure, is the act of pleasure, is the time for this, is the time for life. But no, your whole life and the society's whole life is structured to encourage delayed gratification, delayed pleasure, that I will be happy or have pleasure in the weekend. I'll have happy or have pleasure on my vacation. Or when I get off work.
Yeah. There's so much to reinforce that you know, society wise, you think you're right to feel that way.
It's all a lie. And it's the reason it's the lie is because you have forsaken the living God. It can't be blamed on society. It's you, individually, that have forsaken the living God. You've forsaken him who is the fountain of living water and hewn for yourself cisterns that can hold no water. Now, what's the response? The response at every moment, if there is no pleasure, is say, Father, forgive me. The evidence of no pleasure is not the fact that you need to go dig another cistern that's also broken that can hold no water. The reason that you have no pleasure is because you're living in desolation. The reason you're living in desolation is if you have forsaken the living God. It has nothing to do with anything you can see. If you're not in a state of pleasure, you're living a lie. Can you understand the idea that all of the industries that are called the pleasure or leisure industries, their only reason they're successful is because they don't work?
It's not that they work, so therefore there's more of them, because they don't work.
Yeah.
Well, most of them go out in 4 minutes.
Well, but even if they don't go out, even if they continue, the only reason that people continue going to them is because they don't work.
It's like when Ed and I went to Club Med, you'd always hear people go, I'm going to come back and I'm going to stay here longer. You know what I mean? Like, if they stayed there longer, then it would work. You know, it wasn't.
I'm going to Club Med in Cancun instead of Exxon because there's probably more fun there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is so basic.
Very.
But what it is, in the bottom line, is a denial of the Holy Spirit of God, and it's a hewing for yourself. Remember, the Holy Spirit, the fountain of living water, it speaks of the Spirit. But you try to replace the Spirit. That's why alcohol is so evil. Do you know what? I'm sure I've talked about this before, but the brain, there's no chemical that can cause a chemical dependence in you unless your brain already has those receptors. The reason that alcohol is such a problem in the universe, and always has been, is because the receptors in your brain that can cause the alcohol molecules to attach to it are the exact same receptors that the Holy Spirit uses. And if they're covered over with alcohol, the Holy Spirit can't get there. The same is true with every other drug. It's every other drug, every receptor in the brain that causes cocaine, heroin, any of the opiates, any of the barbiturates, any of the ups or downers or whatever, is a function of a spiritual condition. Aren't you tired of building for yourself cisterns that hold no water? What?
Yes.
You look like you're about to cry. Why?
I feel like
that. Why?
Because I know what you're saying is true.
He's tired of building cisterns.
Where does that hit you personally?
Well, I mean, the obvious answer, you know, the answer everybody wants to hear is what's been going on in the last 6 months, but it's bigger than that.
Okay.
I mean, it's total.
Be astonished, O you heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord. Do you realize we've only talked about all that came from two verses in Jeremiah? For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Is Israel a servant?
Hear this. Another way of saying it. Can Israel be a victim? Is Israel a victim? Is he a home-born slave? The universe was created for you. Why have you been robbed? Spoiled there means robbed. Here's what it says. Why is he spoiled? Why have you been robbed? You have been robbed blind. Accurately stated. The young lions roared upon him and yelled, and they made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. That's what your condition is internally. You're desolate. Now let's go on. Skip down to 19. Thine own wickedness shall correct thee. Well, that's encouraging. Finally, we got something encouraging here.
It seems to kind of work out.
We have some good news and some bad news. You will be corrected. The bad news is it'll be your own wickedness.
Thy own wickedness shall correct thee. Thy backsliding shall reprove thee.
At least you don't have to work on it.
Really?
Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. Yeah, you know what I'd say about that. For of old time I have broken thy yoke, I have burst thy bands, you are free beyond free. But thou sayest, I will not transgress, when upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wanderest playing the harlot. In every high place, activity in the mind, your mind rushes to that high hill in you to play the whore. Yet I had planted thee a noble vine, holy a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? For though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. How canst thou say, I am not polluted? I have not gone after Balaam. See thy way in the valley. Know what thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary traversing her ways. It's a camel in heat.
A fast camel.
Fast camel in heat.
You don't just want it, you want it bad.
Running away from the path. A wild ass.
We've been called that.
A camel in heat and a wild ass.
Well, that's okay.
Well, that's
that
hairy.
Hairy.
Yeah, but the wild ass is sniffing up
there
too.
I need the words. This is good. I don't know, Harry, why you don't come to Bible study wearing knee pads.
Well, you
those
phrase like wild ass.
A wild ass used to the wilderness that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure.
Yeah. Is that like dogs sniffing tail?
That's sort of.
No, it's trying to find.
She smells the breeze.
Trying to smell.
She's trying to smell where the guys are gone.
Yeah. The dog's smelling for a
sniffing for pheromones.
In her occasion, who can turn her away?
No, not me.
The girl's gonna have it.
Jeremiah was a subtle
kind
of
guy.
Hey.
She's gotta have it.
All that they that seek her will not weary themselves. In her month they shall find her. Withhold thy foot from being unshod and thy throat from thirst, but thou sayest there is no hope. For I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets. Let's go on down. We're not going to have time. I want to get into this other area here. Verse 33, why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Change your ways. Why do you adjust your ways? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. Now, what does that mean? Do you realize how many people you've killed in the process of trimming your ways? How many people have you abandoned, turned from, because you couldn't use them? I have not found it by secret search. He's talking about the blood that's on your skirts. But upon all these, yet thou sayest, because I am innocent. This doesn't have anything to do with me. This is dispensational stuff. Surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. His response then, why gaddest thou about so much to change thy ways? I love that one.
Yeah, we know.
Thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. Doesn't matter whether it's Babylon or Egypt, it's all going to screw you around. Yea, thou shalt go forth from him, and thine hands upon thy head, for the Lord hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them. Can you see how pleasure then is a hallmark? Not of your mental condition. It's a hallmark of your spiritual obedience. If you have to have delayed pleasure, or if you have no pleasure, then it's the evidence that you've forsaken the living God and hewn out your own cisterns to hold the water that hold none. There's a whole other thing that I need to get into, but
45 minutes.
Take it, big guy.